commissioner. We have one commissioner attending the meeting virtually, which is allowed under law.
Okay, right now, just, this is highly unusual, and we are just squeaking in.
We're just squeaking in, so, but it is legal, thanks to the government, governor's extension of the order for remote meeting attendance. So we are good, we're all compliant, so we are ready to go whenever you are.
Okay, I call the July 20th, 2021, regular board meeting.
Recording in progress.
Of Glencoe Park District to order. Lisa, please call, roll, and note the time.
Great, it's 7:02. Commissioner Warren?
Here.
Commissioner Bovee's absent. Commissioner Snyder?
Here.
President Brooks?
Here. Do we say Commissioner Record again, or no?
Yes, you can you, yes, can everybody tell Commissioner Record, sorry.
Yes, okay, so.
Commissioner Record.
Permission to record.
Permission to record.
All right.
All right. Moving on to consent agenda items, A through D are routine. Does any commissioner want any item pulled from the consent agenda items?
No.
No.
Okay. I entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda items as presented.
So moved.
So, second.
Okay. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Warren?
Yes.
Commissioner Snyder?
Yes.
And President Brooks?
Yes. Motion passes. It is our practice not to address questions at this time. However, we will take comments under advisement. Is there anyone who would like to make a verbal comment? If so, please limit comments to 3 minutes per person.
I just want to make a note that we are doing public feedback for the WAF renovation. So if anybody wants to do comments on that, they can do so after our report. So we'll do another kind of open dialogue, which is a little bit unusual.
Yes.
So I did have one that came in at 6:15 today from Adam Weiner.
Open dialogue.
Start. Oops, lost. Yeah, pause.
Where's the pause?
No, keep going.
She's still there?
Yeah, she's still there.
I am responding to your just revealed plans to rush through a multi-million-dollar co-mingled West School, West Park, Illinois State budget project that I believe was first made public this Friday by tweet. Given timelines were considered, this seems an effort to rush you another multi-million-dollar project that serves the personal interests of relatively few, including the Glencoe Park District Commissioners, using taxpayer dollars of Glencoe and Illinois residents. Also, neglects and continues to disregard much less costly maintenance needs of facilities that many more Glencoe residents have repeatedly communicated for years are needed to prevent further decay and more injuries from occurring on such facilities. It also squanders without legitimate representation tax dollars and state intentions in initially funding those facilities. One example of this pattern is Lakefront Park, specifically the tennis courts that have been negligently allowed to decay without basic maintenance for many decades. Evidence of this is plentiful and infutable. This contracts with basic maintenance performed by neighboring village and city park districts, including some of these cited circumstances that exist above submerged water tanks. Hundreds of residents, including those living adjacent and nearby the facility, have communicated their support regarding the need for a facility that is better maintained for safety and proper use. Some of these residents have communicated to the park district and village for a very long time throughout the past decade. This has been overwhelmingly shared and community concern and consensus. While all neighboring community park district tennis courts were fully utilized throughout most of the pandemic, because tennis was among the safest and healthiest activities for residents of all ages and genders, those Glencoe facilities were unsafe to use. And for some who did not attempt to use them, injuries occurred as a direct consequence of the conditions. It's unfortunate that these days some public representatives do not fully communicate factually, do not put the public interest first, do not use the greatly advanced options to communicate with their constituents, do not seek input and feedback in a timely and thorough manner to ensure the resident funds are or levy taxes are being prudently and in accordance with resident preferences, rather than preferences of a handful of commissioners. Can't talk. It's also questionable when some of these commissioners are appointed rather than elected. In fact, the commissioner was recently sworn in after planning to sell his home and move out of Glencoe, resulting in another appointment by a small group. It's unfortunate that the excuses for allowing the facilities to decay became unsafe and cause injury, are not fact-based, and are misleadingly provided, even when contradicted by evidence that proves otherwise. We have all seen, and many have been experienced, unfortunate consequences of representation that is not transparent, not candid, and does not prioritize the interests of constituents. In fact, residents who previously raised the issue of base safety with the Glencoe Park District Commissioners were dismissively told that the facilities were safe, despite much clear evidence to the contrary. They were told to be quiet, or the facilities would be removed more quickly than being contemplated, and through a lack of maintenance and decay.
Lisa, I just interrupt quickly.
Yeah.
It's now past the 3 minutes, so I don't know how much more you have to
read.
It's quite a lot. Why don't you finish up the thought and then...
Okay. They were told to join a private country club that they wanted to play safe, wanted a safe, playable facility. They were told to consider deals of providing money as well as the excess of the park district and village taxes. One is anything comparable to facilities being provided by ordinary tax funds by all Glencoe neighboring villages, named suburb neighboring towns.
If it's almost finished, just because I told other people to the 3 minutes and I.
What are we?
Stephanie's trying to say something. What was muted?
She muted?
She muted herself. There
well,
we go.
Doing it about ethical issues of maneuvering to receive Illinois state grant financing in addition to Glencoe taxpayer financing may have consequences for future taxation at that prior expenditures. We deserve better. If you Glencoe Park District Commission want people to walk towards, but that is your preferred hobby, perhaps you would indeed use your position to spend our tax funds on people courts near your homes. We also consider using our tax funds on to maintain the facilities that exist today that were built with resident tax money. That neighbors in the vicinity and residents were broadly support and could openly and transparently and easily obtain to share this input much more broadly, equitably, and responsibly than you are doing. Communication is easier than ever, and whenever you want to communicate your preferences, you actively use email, social media, text. You have board meeting highlighting the questions for communications on your preferred interest. Please, this time we've come to do the right thing and represent the served broader community of Glencoe.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank you. Okay, were there any other comments? I know you reached out to the public regarding the agenda.
Just one more, but my report's here. So
okay.
I will share his email, though, with the board later. That's along with Anna Meinberg's.
Wonderful. Okay, very good. Thank you. So we will move on then to the next agenda item, the West Park Renovations presentation and community input. This will be presented by Lisa Shepherd and Chris Meyer.
Okay, yes, where's Chris?
Okay,
well, I'm going to start really just a little bit this way. Oh, there he is. We're ready to start, Chris.
Evening.
All right. So, as we brought up to the board at our last committee meeting, there's an opportunity for an OSAG grant, and we looked over all of our current capital project things that have been on our list for improvements within a 3 to 5 year time span, and then we looked at the qualifications needed for an OSAG grant and presented it to the board. Which the board gave the consensus to go ahead and apply for a grant for West Park redevelopment. So tonight's meeting, what we really want to do is make sure we get input from residents to what they would like to see in this park, give them some ideas of staff, give ideas what would make a good grant project and that are needed and were outlined in our master plan, and then we'll outline the next steps. So basically our project goals are to refresh existing infrastructure. So we're not asking, we have certain things that have been identified in our master plan that need to be refreshed in this park. We want to meet our ADA accessibility needs. As the board knows, we did an ADA transition plan, and this was indicated as a need for improvement. We have no way to get players or spectators to the baseball field who have ADA needs. We want to enhance the recreation amenities for the community and also for school use, And of course, we want to keep the character of our neighborhood. So we go really quick to the picture of the field. This is the current condition of West Park and obviously West School. Chris, do you want to say anything about this at all?
Absolutely. First off, good evening. I'm Chris Leiner, the director of Parks here in Glencoe, for those who are watching online as well. Lisa, what we have up on the screen is an overhead GIS of West Park, just to kind of start to inform our discussion tonight. This is from a couple of years ago after the project, so some of that brown area has turned green. But for the scope of tonight's discussion, we're really talking about everything to the west of the playground area and sidewalk and parking lot. So that's going to encompass the tennis courts, the athletic fields, the area between Willow and Cherry Tree Lane there on the corner, and a few other ideas. So,
all right, so next slide, Denny. So this park was acquired in 1914, so it's 107 years old. The baseball fields were built in 1990, so they're 31 years old, way past their useful life. The tennis courts were built in 1994, so they're 27 years old. The playground discovery area was built in 2017, that is not part of this project. And the parking lot was resurfaced in will be resurfaced in 2021, probably they're doing it now. And then the tennis courts were slated to be color-coded last year. We paused that because of the virus and the pandemic, and we're on a schedule to be recoded this year whenever the ability of the little backlog. So resurfacing, as Chris will talk, is more like a Band-Aid to keep those courts lasting until 2 or 3 years until we're able to redo this court. Next. Want me to do this one?
I can take this. Okay. So, as Lisa indicated, the Illinois Department of Natural Resources communicated that they would be running an open space land acquisition and development grant program this year. That's a $400,000 matching grant. The Park District most recently won one of those grants for Duke Park on Old Green Bay Road. It's a great way to offset your regular maintenance costs. So to take something that you knew you were only going to spend taxpayer dollars on and leverage those state funds to help you offset those costs. So in developing the potential project, we have to really be cognizant of, you know, if this is a grant applicable project and if we want to pursue that grant moving forward, if that's the right fit.
Okay, so concepts that the board and staff are not recommending being considered are sports field lighting, permanent outfield fence, and there will be no parking changes to Cherry Tree Lane. Next. Concepts under consideration, did you want to take this or do you
want to? Yes, absolutely. So, to Lisa's point, several years ago we installed a walking loop here at the Take-If Center. In our Park District's master plan and comprehensive plan, walking areas were notated amongst residents to be one of the areas that they'd like to see growth in the community as far as our infrastructure. What we imagine is we're going to have an ADA accessible path of travel to any amenities that we redevelop in the park in this project. So really taking what could be something like a boring sidewalk and really making it into a recreational amenity, looping around the park in a way that isn't obtrusive to the neighborhood, but also gives people an opportunity to walk also for PE use, year-round use, depending on the materials we select. We do have some choices as far as materials go. There's concrete, asphalt, and an aggregate product. There's definitely pros and cons to every choice that we're looking at. I mean, first, concrete is very durable. There's year-round use. It has a 30 to 50 year lifespan. It is the highest expensive cost up front. On the flip side, you know, there's a lot of people who don't find it to be aesthetically appealing. They think it's not permeable, that it can take away from the feeling of a natural space. Other products that are available are aggregate. Most recently used a product like that on the new section of trail along Old Green Bay Road. Product is very aesthetically appealing, it's permeable. It is a high maintenance product. It would be the most expensive product that we could install in the long term as far as operational costs, but there's definitely a much higher aesthetic value to it. And rounding out the bases, really we have asphalt, which is the least expensive up front. There is some annual maintenance costs and some environmental risk that can kind of go along with those processes. It's also least aesthetically appealing. So from a cost standpoint, it's the lowest cost, but in the long term, it may not be the right product for that part. So
just to note also, with concrete and asphalt, there could be a year-round use to it. You could plow it, shovel it, and use it throughout the year. You don't really need the application for baseball, but as will be found here at Takeoff, it's that people use this walking 12 months out of the year. So we would not be able to do that, and the school wouldn't be able to use that either. So that's something to keep in mind, what the benefits of concrete asphalt. Also to remember is that the walking path, we're not proposing that it interferes at all with the use of the baseball or softball fields. Chris will talk later, is that we want to make one of our recommendations is to make the baseball field or softball field more multi-use, so it can be used for baseball, different age groups, softball, kickball, and things like that. So we want to make sure when we design the walking path that does not interfere with those recreational activities. So our placement of that will be taking that into consideration.
So the next concept that we really want to look at based on the condition of the existing asset is the tennis courts. So Lisa spoke to this a little bit earlier. Well, we have the courts coming in for a color coat, which is basically like a light grinding and a full paint job this year. It's really more of a temporary fix. We're going to see those cracks reappear year after year, and we just feel like it's at a point where we really need to develop a long-term plan for all of our tennis facilities in the Park District. So what we're currently looking at, in particular for this site, is the potential to convert one court area to dedicated pickleball courts. So we have three courts on site. One court would potentially net us 2 to 3 pickleball courts. There's been a high resident demand for pickleball. We have no dedicated courts here in Glencoe, but what we're proposing would keep a similar footprint to what we have out there. We're not proposing effectively tacking on a fourth court on the existing tennis courts. We're really sticking to the area that we have and really focusing on it as a maintenance-related task. Under consideration going forward is in the athletic field. So, as you guys may know, the athletic field at West Park is not in the best of condition. It's not well-drained. The backstops themselves are at the end of their useful life. We have invested some resources there into making repairs related to a safety nature, but they're not very aesthetically appealing, nor are they very well-used based on the condition. So what we're looking at first and foremost is to replace the existing backstop with similar site-appropriate equipment. So I'll go back. You know, we're not envisioning something like this. So that's not going to work at West Park. So I would say something like what we have out there now, but clean and new and more of a muted color than the neon green backstops that we currently have. Furthermore, we're looking at the potential use of synthetic turf on the infield of the large baseball field, which is referred to as a pony field. Synthetic turf in infield is something rather new in our industry. We were seeing 10, 15 years ago, park districts and municipalities turfing entire fields. And they were developing these multi-million dollar projects, and it was really creating very dedicated use. People couldn't picnic, they couldn't run their dogs. It was really just a dedicated athletic field. We don't feel like that fits the character of West Park. In particular, it's just very cost prohibitive, and it also would restrict the use of the park. So what we're proposing is a synthetic turf infield. So that would just be the actual area that's like considered the clay, where the bases are. So the benefits of this is a much greater use time frame for residents than the school. It doesn't get muddy, it's well drained. It's attractive all year long, it's not going to turn brown. There's no watering needed. We would not need to use any pesticides or fertilizers in this area, as it would be synthetic turf. There's no cutting, mowing, or trimming. Included in that is also improved playability for all ages. So right now, the baselines are static. We can't go out, we can't play a group of second graders on a field designed for seventh and eighth graders. Whereas with the synthetic turf infield, we can just move the bases up. There's basically portable holes in the field, you unplug a cap, you move the bases up, you play second graders out there that day. A different day, you play seventh graders out there. You can play softball, baseball, kickball. It really makes it a much greater recreational asset for the community versus one field for seventh and eighth grade boys. So that's why we really think that it's a good fit for this project, in particular the amount of use that we know District 35 will get out of this year-round. So there's a lot of information out there about synthetic turf, and one of the big concerns that we always hear is, what's the product laid down on top of? We wouldn't be looking at laying it down on concrete or compacted earth. I mean, it's not going to be that, like, AstroTurf carpet that you might see 25, 30 years ago. It's really a synthetic turf grass that gets put down over stone. So it will become better drained than what we currently have out there. So included in the discussion about the athletic fields is the small field. It's on the corner of Willow Tree and Cherry Tree Lane. We refer to that in-house as the K-ball field, the kindergarten field. We're looking at making some improvements there, changing the backstop, you know, exploring based on cost, whether we could have a small synthetic turf area there, you know, of course, ADA access, where the drinking fountain's going to be. Right now, it's kind of in a tough spot. You have to walk all the way across the park, behind the bushes, you know, those types of things we're looking at exploring as well. In addition, park drainage. So as anybody who lives around that park knows, that park holds a lot of water, especially by the large baseball field in the back corner there. So we're challenged in the fact that when we are holding water in the park system, we're typically holding water across all 100 acres. So we're not able to just go and pump out one particular park because we can't pump out every park. We don't really have a rhyme or reason as to why one whole park is more important than another park. So we really envision having proper drainage in this park, engaging the services of a civil engineer. And in that whole process, it's about draining the park properly in a way that doesn't negatively impact the neighbors. So it's not about raising the park up 30 inches so all the water runs off our property onto the neighboring residences. It's about collecting the water, properly storing it, and then feeding into the village's stormwater system as appropriate. So another one of the areas that we've heard anecdotally is the restroom in this park. So currently the park has a porta potty. It's screened behind a number of our varieties on the back of the tennis court. And we envisioned having a dialogue around potentially having an individual family use restroom in that area. Obviously that would be a large cost driver on the project. So we really have to see where our numbers are coming in and what we can afford. A park restroom can run around $250,000. So that's something we're exploring. Included in that could be the potential for a small gathering area like what we see here at Melvin Berlin Park. It's 16 by 16. It's something that we're considering. Not something that we're imagining dropping out in the center of the park, but something that is concealed behind the tennis courts in a way that it doesn't become an eyesore or a nuisance. You know, so included in that is also some discussion about fitness stations. So we have some fitness stations in Shelton Park, and we're thinking something a little bit different than that. We've heard from the school that they would like something that students could potentially utilize. We're not imagining like Muscle Beach here. It's not going to be like a hangout spot where everybody's banging free weights or anything like that. But something maybe connected to our arterial path system, a few pods or something like that is worth considering.
Like pull-up bars?
Pull-up bars, a climbing bar, something very static. I don't see dropping, you know, 6 or 7 park-style elliptical bikes out there or anything like that. But anything that we would do, we would want to choose muted colors. So this is not a great site for, like, bright yellow or, you know, neon green. We're really seeking things in earth tones, really, to make sure that it fits in the community. As part of that as well, we've heard some feedback from the school about outdoor gathering and classroom space. So we all know with COVID, school has moved outside in a lot of ways. So one of the things that we've looked at is there's something called a Jens Jensen style council ring. Basically, it's like a low seat wall with a small raised stone at the front where a teacher could stand and the children would sit on the wall. Again, very passive use, not something that we envision creating a huge disruption in the park, but maybe something that we could link to our path that loops around the park.
It's also important to note that we do, at West, we do our girls' sports camp, so a lot of these amenities would help
yes.
us in the summer months for both the shade structure, to get out of the sun, and take a break, water breaks, or whatever,
yep.
The fitness stations, things like that would assist in our ever-growing girls' sports camp.
Yes. So we've had some significant success already at this site with the collaborative shared playground, and I think we're looking to build on that success and really fitting something that's appropriate into that park site, into our concept plan. So I just want to open up the floor to any comments from those that have joined us this evening, questions?
Did your office. Either of you have any comments?
I just was wondering if there'd be a space for a more senior citizen gathering space of some kind, like you mentioned, a wall where the kids would sit and the teacher. That's a good idea.
Yeah, and the shade structure too. We envision that.
Yeah, shade structure.
Yeah, right. Would be great right. For a senior gathering space.
What is the thing behind the tennis courts used for now?
The garden area?
Oh, that, yeah.
So that, we refer to that as a discovery area. The kids gather there during recess. There's a whole premise where children are kept way too clean now, and this is an opportunity to really get into the earth and get dirty, and we have different samplings of landscape materials and things to crawl on and manipulate, logs, rocks. I mean, it's half garden, half playground, and it's a spot where you see a lot of the kids gathering and sitting, just kind of the chill out spot, if that makes sense.
That's very popular with the school age kids.
I can say a whole bunch of things really fast, just to throw them out there.
You don't have a time limit.
Yeah.
I don't know who, and I wish I would have wrote down who wrote that email, because the first thing I'm going to do is respond to that. It's absurd. I've read the packet that this is rushed through, or there's any conflict of interest between anybody sitting here. Just wanted to put that on the record. I mean, if you read the materials, it's clear that this is literally years in advance from happening. I mean, to quote your own package, the goal of tonight's discussion, not this tonight, but earlier in July, is not to design the project. I applaud you guys for how much outreach you're doing. There are signs all over West right now. It's just not just a tweet or an email or something like that. But as is typical, there's two of us for the neighborhood.
Yeah.
I think it's absurd when you get responses like that. It pained me that you had to read it from your own voice and it wasn't yours. But there's so many things in there that I'm not even going to dignify with comments.
I second that.
Thank you.
Two major points that I wanted to make, and then I added a fourth point because I mostly agreed with the things and the ideas and the general concepts that are put forward in the packet. And obviously this is very early on during planning. Things will happen further down the road and things like that. So there's no need to get into like this move 2 feet to the right or things like that. But the first is, I would really like it, if we've got over there the big ball field and what's referred to now as the K field. If that big ball field is going to become a multi-use, and I fully support turf in that, I think there's a lot of great benefits to it. I'm a huge native plant person, so I'm not a big fan of grass. I mean, ironically, AstroTurf in some ways is sort of better.
You're preaching to the choir.
Because it's not, but in any case, if that becomes a multi-use, like we can move the bases and it's going to be Pony League or T-Ball League, it would be really nice to have that other K area be dedicated like to girls softball, because there aren't specific girls things so much in the community where my girl plays softball, I take it on a gigantic adult baseball field and the bases are a little different. That's going to be a multi-use, but again, it's going to feel like there. Right now the kids, it's great to see those little pint-sized kids playing t-ball there. But I think in some sense, boys t-ball, if you're scooching in the bases and you're playing on that big, those kids are super excited just to be out there and doing it and it's really, but to have something that is that's the girls softball field, I think would be fantastic from a gender diversity. We're focused, we're listening to that. Along the lines of we're listening to seniors and this is this is cool. People can, come and drink coffee and things like that. So that's point one. Point two is there's going to be a lot of stuff happening there, earth moving around, perhaps, particularly in the ball field area things. I think you guys have a great opportunity when you are putting finishing touches on things and landscaping to not, I would love to see more native landscaping going in. And I think I'll go further than just to say, when it all gets knocked down and then it's put back together again, some nice native here and there, I'd make a big push for, and I mentioned this in my email, that space is massive. And, the big ball field, there are no kids, there are a couple of high school kids who practice there once in a while. who hit the ball a long way. But by and large, the 7th and 8th grade kids are barely making it out of the outfield. And so, I mean, to hit the ball from home plate to that porta potty is probably a major league home run, 450 feet or something. Like, there, I think there's space in there. And what I would love to see is to take that opportunity, have the park district lead in a micro prairie or something, like adjacent to that natural play area. I'm not a civil engineer. I know the space you're talking about where there are drainage issues that goes from George's, between George's house that's right there at the end of Edgebrook.
Yes.
And the ball field. What's now traditionally a, this is the place where you leave that area of Strawberry Hill if you want to go to the lagoons that way, and you cut up through the back and make it there, which asterisk, maybe there's another opportunity to make that officially a walkway, because people use it right now unofficially.
So that's the crossing out on the Dundee through the
exactly.
Right, right.
You're going right back to the end of backstop.
So do you think that that's something that folks in that neighborhood would support?
Yes. Yeah. 100%. Really?
100%.
And it should be narrow, leveled down so bikers can get through there.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's always difficult to get the bikes up there.
We're talking about that, and we're like, how do neighbors look like that?
It's disappointing that the IDOT didn't take the opportunity to paint some nice bike lanes when they resurfaced that portion, which would have made the travel from Forest Way and the, you know, the lagoons or the Botanic Gardens better. Notwithstanding that, I think, yes, you see, when you see people in the neighborhood, there's two ways that, particularly people in our neighborhood, access the lagoons. As you go, you cut through behind the ball field, or you go all the way down to the picnic area.
Mm-hmm. So you don't have to ride around when it's wet then? Like if you're on your bike, you
can't
that,
walk.
That
you
whole
can't
area
walk
is just solely
through there sometimes. That's bad. And I think, going back to the native plantings there, I think there's opportunities to take and bring somebody in. And I will, I'm going to guess a little bit based on what was in the package of we might need to push the scope of this project to make it more attractive in doing this. If that means make the project dollars bigger, it would be cool to, like, again, lead on native plantings and incorporate that in as, you know, so I don't know how many people, I see it all the time. The roots of native plants are, like, down to, like, infinity, and it's water management's much better. And to the extent that that can be incorporated in there and the park district can lead on that and set an example of, look, we're doing this both for aesthetics and water management. And
it's kind of what we did
for,
at Take It back there, right?
Yeah,
we're
absolutely.
About that,
Colin,
we're
exactly.
About
exactly.
Education.
Yes, it's adjacent to the school there.
Yes.
And again, like I said, micro prairies there where you've got the educational opportunities. Kids are coming here and saying, like, look, there's, I mean, I'll tell you what, the first time that I showed my daughter a monarch butterfly egg sitting on there, it's like, whoa, like, are you kidding? So I think that there's some fantastic stuff there. Last thing I'll make, or excuse me, two last things very quickly. I make a big plug for the permeable walkway for much the same reasons that you've already articulated. I think it fits the character, the drainage issues. It's West Park is quiet. Our little nook back there in the community is pretty quiet. I don't know if it's the intent to drive traffic there, but I would gather that most of the local residents would be able to say, keep it quiet because we like it quiet back here. I walk my dog constantly year round. I get that there's people walking in December around Take It for exercise. It's closer to the downtown, it's more central. There's nobody out in the wintertime there. It's just not.
Okay,
again, it's so quiet out there that making it, adapting it to higher levels of use, I think would be.
So the trade-off is worth it.
Wasteful and it's absolutely.
So
and I think to the extent that there's your maintenance costs are correlated to your hundreds and hundreds of people are doing this and circling this. I don't think you're going to see it. I welcome that. I mean, it's a fantastic idea to have that sort of loop and walking. For the same reason, and last point is, I don't see any use for fitness stations out there. You've got an existing playground, which monkey bars-ish, but there are parallel bars out there. There are things to climb on. There are things to pull. There's tennis courts to play on. I mean, I have a really difficult time envisioning anybody going like, oh, let's hustle over to West and like do some sit-ups on an incline bench or something. Like, and it just doesn't.
How much use is there for the T-ball field?
Now we see use maybe 10 weeks a year, 12 weeks a year.
They can't use the big field by moving the bases and by doing other things, making the big field more flexible?
They can't now. Now they
I mean, if you did
but if we were to do a multi-surface, multi-age group field, we could use that for some kindergarten games. I think we would likely find that there's going to be obviously competition, multiple age groups. So the added inventory of the additional field is important. But the K field is not necessarily as impacted by water conditions as the larger field in the back of the park.
The big field too, the infield grass conditions get to a point where because of the water, where you can't move big equipment across the actual infield, you can't mow it. And if you had a T-ball kid, you'd be like hitting into the U.S. Open rough where the ball would just go.
Definitely are like reading verbatim from a concern email I got. The grass was so long the kids couldn't hit the ball out of the infield.
Oh, yeah.
I just have one quick question. So I'm looking at the aerial view, and I used to pick up my son there in third or fourth grade. But I don't quite understand, and I'm just trying to understand where the native plantings would go. If you want to take like 30 seconds, say plantings here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Tell for you guys. So behind this field, this is where Chris was talking about, where a lot of the water, and then right up there is where people cut through to Dundee to get to there.
Okay.
I think there's opportunities here. When I say natives, a lot of people think like. Purple cone flowers or like pretty like shiny things like that, but there's a lot of other grasses and irises and things like that that do well in moist areas and also work on that. But one of the other points that I was making is that with this natural area adjacent here, there's the T-ball field, and like 6 inches past the infield gets used because the girls don't hit that far and the T-ball kids don't hit that far. Sometimes there's football in the fall that happens here, or kids practice lacrosse. But and again, where I mentioned here, this is a massive shot for any kid playing on this field. I think there's opportunities like kind of all in this area or even around this natural area back in here. I think there's a lot. It looks like in a picture kind of cramped. When you're there, it's big. It's really big, and I think there's a lot like adjacent here, the toilet, whatever, this here, and again, that a lot here. And I think the village is doing a lot on the other side, on the Dundee side of that, in terms of planting some native trees, planting grasses on there, have looked good and might be a nice complement on the other side of that, on the that hedgerow.
So let me ask you a question.
There.
So that particular berm.
First, thanks for pointing that out. That's really helpful. Thank you.
Let me ask you a question. Just as someone who is your house visible from this photo?
No.
Okay. So
it's where her computer. Well, it's even
over here. Okay. So one of the particular things about that landscape berm along Dundee is it's not what we would define in the industry as high quality plantings. It's mostly buckthorn, honeysuckle, things that kind of can fall on that invasive species.
In that brush area, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
How critical, because if we were to do a native restoration in that area, we would lose our screen to Dundee Avenue.
Yes.
We would
at least
have,
temporarily.
Yes. We would have residents that were used to a 40-foot tall screen of buckthorn now viewing traffic on Dundee Avenue. So how important do you guys think that that screen is to those folks who may live on Willow Tree Lane?
Very important.
Do you happen to live on Willow Tree?
No, I don't, but I would think that people who live on Willow Tree would need that buffer. You're talking about taking that away?
Well, if we're talking about native plantings, there's a potential for, you know, looking at some of those areas for plantings, and I just wanted to kind of understand the community feeling on that particular berm. I'm not proposing taking it away. I'm just asking the question.
I would think that people along there would mind very much.
That's good feedback. That's what my thought was as well. So.
Well, but he doesn't have you.
So,
there's someone on the other side of Dundee, because I'm right there on the other side.
So,
and just my personal feedback as a resident, not as a board member, is that I wouldn't like that taken away, because I can see it from my house, and when the school trimmed stuff away, I didn't like it. I mean, they put stuff back now, but that's just my opinion from someone who's on the other side of that street.
On the other side. Okay. That's
good. She's over at the,
yeah. Across
at the
across
lettering.
Way. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I'll take a little bit different view there. So if you're talking about this, there's an elevation change there.
Yes.
And so, like, you know, you talked about before, when you go back behind that, you've got to go up an embankment, and then it levels out to what is basically a grade for Dundee. So the entire park is probably, the drainage is an issue because it's about 6 feet below Dundee grade. Yes, in here, a ton of buckthorn, a ton of like nasty stuff. If you live on Willow, and I appreciate Stephanie's on the other side and she's looking at a different thing happening, to the extent, I'm only going to comment about what you would think about in terms of seeing the Dundee traffic. If you live on Willow Tree here, you know, your sight line here is school, 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 tennis court, school, 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 tennis courts, and you have maybe four houses there to the end who've got direct line of sight view to there. I'm not advocating, like, burn it down. Like, let's see, like, all kinds of cars. I do think that you could have an opportunity to maybe selectively pull, and I don't mean pull one tree here and there, move it, but you might be able to phase something in where you say, no, we're going to replace buckthorn.
We previously had luck with kind of native pots, where we might take a 10 by 10 box and clear out all the invasives and then plant native trees and shrubs and things in that area, and then you're not going from, you know, 40-foot tall screens to an open field.
Yes.
So I appreciate
and I think even to the extent that you are here, when you're looking out over that, you are, you know, that's that from here to Dundee,
probably 150 yards,
is the size of that portion of Willow Tree that you are looking across both of those ball fields into a berm up. Even if you're removing Park District buckthorn that is part of that screen, on the other side of that, like where the photo cuts off, is the area in which the village has now also cut down a lot of stuff. Their very young trees are going in bushes. I don't expect those to be screened. They don't look like that. They look like single stems for the most part. I don't live on Willow Tree. I think there's a way to do it to, I think, mitigate that concern, but still, and again, that, I mean, this, you're absolutely right, the buckthorn, the neighborhood is crawling with buckthorn, mainly because of, it's developed in the late 50s as a Greta Letterer track, like, let's put houses everywhere, and the buckthorn grew like it's supposed to, highly aggressively, everywhere, and it went up quick, and it provided a lot of people screens, and now we're realizing that maybe that wasn't the best approach to things.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it, and hope your input. Thank you very much. So next step will be sharing everything we learned here and then the emails that we received with our architects and some of the native plantings. We've already actually started talking to them about that, similar to what we did at Take-Up. And so they'll get to work on this, and we're going to share their concept plan on Tuesday, August 3rd. We're having a meeting that starts at 6 p.m. I invite you to join us in that one. Tell your neighbors. The architect will be here to develop, to show the concept plans that were submitted for OSLAD. Those can be tweaked. What can't be tweaked is any major elements we put in for OSLAD grants. So if we say we're going to put a shelter, we have to put a shelter. Exactly where it is can be manipulated a little bit, and things like that. So we'll be sharing those conceptual drawings at that meeting, and then sharing with our board the input from that meeting at our 7 o'clock board meeting.
I will not be able to attend that.
Okay.
Will there be an opportunity to perhaps see it in advance? Maybe
no, just send me an email, or I have your email, and you have your email. You can come in before that if you okay. and take a look at it. So.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Before you leave, just on behalf of the board, I have to say this is exactly how it's supposed to work. You shared with us really valuable information that certainly represents your point of view, but I'm guessing reflects the neighborhood. I don't know if you're in that neighborhood. You just can just sort of speculate on what people want. Very much appreciated advocating for our very large population of seniors who do like to have social areas to gather in. And what's beautiful about this design, what I like so much about it, and I don't know about you, Barry, but Stephanie often in the atmosphere someplace, is how flexible all of these elements are for more than one group of people.
Right.
So we have, and I really liked you advocating for girls softball. Sometimes it's only symbolic that girls have something of their own, because, you know, baseball is a boys' sport. And if you just do baseball, it feels like girls are just having to overlay their sport onto a boys' baseball field. So I really do appreciate that. But all of these elements are very flexible. And, you know, you've got the third and fourth graders using them. You've got the neighborhood using the track, the walking track, and so forth. So it's an exciting project. I appreciate so much what you shared with us. And continue to communicate with us.
Can I say two last things in front? Super quick. Permanent volleyball posts might also be very cool to have there. Not super obtrusive, but if you were, you know, to pull a tight net rather than the nets that get played. And playing off this idea, I love this senior idea to the extent that it might be incorporated into any like pathway to the lagoons. I mean, I know as much as West Park is not necessarily used in a constant basis, particularly by necessarily an older crowd, the lagoons are. People are constantly walking that 5 mile loop. And if you had
But if there were shaded areas in there, more of the small tree areas, with maybe even low lights, clever lighting, I'm not saying big lights, but something to make it a little bit more appealing, then people at night might go and gather there.
Yeah, I think that
seating area
idea incorporated as a, I just took a 5 mile walk in the lagoons and now I'm going to sit down and rest, or this is where I put my shoes on and have a little coffee before I venture into there, I think would be fantastic.
Or and by the way, neighbors before you go.
Absolutely.
By the way, I could see the T-ball area being moved to another area in the park. I mean, I'm not an architect, but I don't think you should take something that exists and consider it unmovable. Now, there's other ways to lay out that park, and I can see right away where another T-ball area could be put and a girls' baseball could be put. So, I mean, I think that's for your architect to, consider.
Yeah, we'll look at the old dimensions.
Thank you, guys. Do you need this for any?
Nope.
Or any of your other business?
Nope.
Did you guys sign in? Did you put your email addresses and your phone numbers on there?
Yep.
I didn't, but I emailed these.
Okay, yep, I have
perfect.
That one.
Great.
Because we'll just keep on sharing information.
And we don't even know each other, so this is a nice
great.
A cute mate.
And I wanted to tell the record that none of our commissioners play pickleball yet.
Yeah.
Pickleball. We talked pickleball. First year on the third.
I mean, I know, like,
We don't need it, only if they're concerned, you know, but.
Yeah, they can also stream, the meeting is streamed as well.
Yeah,
I'll talk to people. If they send comments, feedback back and forth is helpful, and yeah. We like the input, so.
We're having a block party on in September. I don't know if you ever go to it.
Yes, I do.
Oh, good. Okay.
In September.
It should have been August. So, if we get some input, we'll tell them what we heard.
Okay.
And maybe we, because this isn't going to happen immediately, I would say. Yeah.
Thanks very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lisa. Bye. Thank you guys all.
Thank you. Very
much. All right. That's great.
What is supposed to work?
Exactly. And we'll take all that input back to our landscape architects and incorporate them into the design.
Thank you.
It's all possible.
They're all ideas that we have. I saw much of what they said, all that they said was already sort of theoretically woven into this. So,
they agreed. So,
very nice. Yeah. Okay. So,
financial report.
We are moving on to the financial report. Fiscal year is complete, and John will provide a synopsis of the report for us. John?
Yep, thank you. And just to go over at a high level some of the reports that we have in here. So first part of the report just covers the cash balances, cash and investment balances, where they stand as of the end of the month, and the June, and then for comparative purposes, the beginning balance and the end balance at May 31 also June 31 balances. As you can see, interest rates are continue to struggle, but all in all, that's just a snapshot of the overall cash investment picture for the district. And then as we get into the actual results, we did add another column. I think this has been the case in previous months too, but just to add a little more context to these numbers, we are going with 4 years, with 3 years being comparative, just given the uniqueness of the COVID year for the 2020 results. But overall, as we look at these numbers at the end of June, very, very solid numbers for many of the programs here. What jumps out to me is daycare, that number does obviously include a grant in there, but nonetheless, a very positive results from that perspective. The beach department is doing fantastic, so that is we see some very positive results there also. And then down at the bottom of the page here, just the summary, analytically looking at it, kind of a big change in the rec admin / take of the part-time, which is a direct result of a scheduled transfer that went out in the previous fiscal years, but did not go out this past year due to the COVID pandemic last year. So if there's any questions beyond that, I'd be happy to address them at this time.
So I'm looking at the rec admin ticket, but I saw there was a big difference, but I didn't understand it. So there's a transfer that we have not made yet, but we had made in prior years at this point.
Correct. That is exactly right. Our
okay.
That's actually what's on the agenda tonight, the transfer.
Good. Okay. Yeah. Well, good. Thanks.
Okay.
Not the river tributary, but I noticed that the reason we invest certain money in fees. Is there some sort of regulatory reason or would we be able to invest in different bonds or something like that?
We absolutely would, and something I'm actually taking a look at, and we just need to weigh the benefits and the additional costs that might come along with that, whether there's additional collateral or whatever comes along with the purchase of those bonds, but corporate government bonds, but that's definitely an opportunity and a discussion I have
with that. Interesting. Yeah, I started blocking my. Okay. All right. Good. Thank you. Anything, Stephanie, that you had a question about?
Not a question. It's nice to see the business numbers come back a little bit. It's still nice to see the daycare revenue because of those grants so high and the beach revenue. And I appreciated in the packet how a lot of your enrollments are now going to 2019 instead for the comparison. That was really helpful.
Yeah, that was. All right.
All right, thank you very much. If nothing else on financials, we will move on to the executive director report, and Lisa Shepherd will review items for us.
Right, so we put a lot of stuff in there, but I'm going to say it's really nice to start getting back to normal after the pandemic. It seems like every day we get closer to more special events. This weekend there's a camp out at the beach with 250 people signed up. Incredible, highest number ever. So it just shows that people really want to get back involved in the community, and especially our outdoors. So we're seeing an uptick on community special events. Nate is doing the Thursday night concert series right in conjunction with Chambers Farmers Market. So those are picking up along with our camp, is doing family and the beach because of our new camp model. So we're about halfway through summer. We're doing really well. We did unfortunately have one early childhood camp have to go into had COVID. One person had COVID, so they had to be quarantined for 2 weeks. So if we're not out of the woods yet, just when you think you are, there's still those young kids can't get vaccinated. So we're keeping in that mind. We have to remember that as we go forward and in programs and stuff, and we keep on watching the regulations and how new school year still. So staff is watching it very closely. So kudos to everybody. The parks team did an amazing job this weekend in a sewer line break at the beach. We're out there, took care of it, it's fixed now, and so 2 days of downtime for our beach house, but they had porta potties put in place, and now we're back up and running. So that was a total team effort with that. So other than that, 4th of July was a great event. We're looking forward to our fireworks and Labor Day. Just note that we do have a Lakefront Advisory meeting on August 10th. I don't believe we can be there, right? Is that correct? Or?
You know, I can be there. If Nathan's water opens on the 9th, I will stay until after that meeting.
That's the commissioner way.
Yeah. So that'll be exciting to be back on that. So as we always think, we're always looking to see how we can improve or start thinking about next year already, and which we were also doing for a while. Other than that, the team's doing a great job. They're all tired, they're exhausted. We're running, our biggest obstacle right now is hiring, especially in our daycare, in children's circle for the full day preschool. The challenge that everybody in the nation is having, we are also having. So our team is creatively looking at solutions, and we'll probably come back to the board at a committee meeting coming up in regards to some ideas that we have for that. But it's definitely an issue that we are watching carefully and brainstorming solutions. We are very, very close to hiring our first full-time dedicated human resources person, so we hope to have that done by the end of this week. So we're excited about that. So other than that, do you have any questions on my report?
It's nice to see such healthy enrollments for next year.
Right, isn't it? Yes.
Yeah, and every private camp, day camp, got hit this week with COVID.
Oh, really?
So unfortunately, you're in bad company with everybody else. Yeah.
And the world we're very, it's, it was one small camp, so we're
a two-day-a-week one.
So, and thank goodness it wasn't one of our bigger camps, so they've been doing a great job. Staff has been very safe, and kids they're outside a lot. They don't want to be outside, they don't want to wear the mask. So, but it's been, everybody's doing a great job keeping it safe. And as you brought up, and for the audience, Chris's team has been really working hard on the squeaky train at Duke Park. So they finally found something to stop that squeaking. We had a very patient neighbor of the park, and I say patient because I walk there almost every day, and it was loud. So we appreciate her patience, and I think they got it solved. So thank you for working on that. And thank you, Erin, for all the communication. You did a lot of communication for the meeting for West. Letters were sent out, signs were posted around town. It went on all of our social media, so it was not just on a tweet, it was throughout the whole district. In addition, we're thinking of doing a survey with our database, email database, because even though it's on one side of town and by neighbors, it's also a community park that we really have access to, so we want to get their input and things like that. I'm looking at talking baseball, I'm talking to the pickleball group and things like that. So we're excited about that. So.
I do have a question. How will, does this get incorporated into the school district? Because this, it's such an overlap project, you know, not only partnering with them, but the use of the space is there is going to be...
Sure.
That's a great question. So I'm just wondering, how does that, how is that work?
So right now we're concentrating on the OSLAD portion of the, yes, of the project, right? So everything that involves with OSLAD. The school district will have to give us a,
they'll be giving us an easement.
So we'll ask them to give the purchaser easement, which allows us to use the school district, some of the school district properties, but the walking path.
Yes, right.
As part of the grant. So yes, they'll give us easement similar to what we did for the playground there. So we've already talked to the district 35, they're prepared to do that. And then after that, we'll start talking about other components that they'll be, that they want to include in this project. And then we'll have a separate agreement. We know that we're working together on these things. And there, she's, Catherine, Dr. Wang already talked to her board about the project and some of the things that we're looking to do and discussing with them some of the aspects of this project that we'll be working together on.
And since all of it has to be in place before the application of the, for OSLAD, just what's the timeline in working with the school? Because I imagine whatever elements they would consider to be essential, that would get, that would be part of what we still were doing.
No, so only the items that we talked about today would be part of the OSLAD grant. That's
okay.
It. And then, so that's it.
Okay.
So any other things they want to do in conjunction with this project, it would be separate monies,
right,
and separate. So they've already talked about these same elements.
Good.
And they're going to communicate and see that through us.
Okay.
So that's where the exercise stations came up.
Oh, that's
wow. It might not be something that that maybe the residents would use, she feels the school district would use those.
Oh, interesting.
Elements,
okay,
as part of the PE program. As they're running around, they might say, okay, three full ups, and you know, that playground is really used heavily. So having a different avenue, and usually during PE, they don't incorporate the playground that much. They do different exercises. So that's where that came. The shelter was another idea. The council ring was another idea for outdoor classrooms.
Really
finding they're pushing the kids outside more and more, and you know, we see that trend continuing.
Yes.
So that was a big portion of it. Multi-use AstroTurf was also, they have the same issue that we do. Mm-hmm. They can't get their kids on those fields too bad. So the drainage was part of that.
I would say, to Lisa's point, they're completely on board with the collaborative nature of the project. We've had such incredible success working together that, you know, they have a lot of trust in us and what we're going to, you know, try to accomplish here. And they're not able to go for an OSLAD grant. So the benefit of partnering with the park district is helping to leverage real estate dollars for them as well that they're not eligible to receive.
Good question. All right. Anything else?
No.
Stephanie?
I love the addition of that shade structure there. I walk by them all the time, and especially with the camps, as you mentioned, I keep thinking, oh my God, it's so hot. These poor kids are under shade. And rather than have to go inside, and plus the pickleball users, if they have to go to the washroom, it's just a no-brainer, really. I mean, I know it's not a for certain, but it would be a great addition.
Yeah, it would be just one bathroom, like you would do a family bathroom.
A single
bathroom. But I agree. But both for tennis active players, pickleball, baseball meetings before school district, I do see much use. And we talked about, actually the architect brought it up, like, what do you think about ideas of rain gardens, like, in some of the we take up?
That's
so that was definitely something that we've seen success here that they would like to incorporate in. And I'm not sure if that's going to be an element of the OSLAD grant, but, you know.
For the OSLAD grant, we have to have five main recreation components.
Okay.
So athletic fields, tennis, the restroom, the shade shelter. So the state doesn't necessarily consider landscaping to be a recreation element, but that type of beautification can really tie into your overall experience on a trail.
Right.
Can create value. So for us in our application, being technically correct is very important because we don't have a needs-based application.
Yeah.
So we're competing against communities that
may be in greater need. So we have to make sure our application is technically flawless and also hitting all the points. So those types of elements really help to flush out our application.
And those exercises.
Yes.
So those exercises, they involve that in grants.
Well, if you need to throw another element in there, you know, we still love that little bike circle thing that we didn't get to do at Inner Green Bay.
Oh, the telephone. I love that thing.
We'll still get to do it someday.
We'll get someday, but I don't think there's room in this park. Because
maybe lots or somewhere, but I still love that idea. We didn't get to do it.
Yeah.
You just keep bringing it up.
I do too, Stephanie. I love that.
Yeah.
So, all right, any other questions? No? Okay.
All right. Okay, thank you, Lisa. Then, moving on to action items, I entertain a motion to approve the annual treasurer's report as presented.
So moved.
So moved. Second.
Any discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Schneider?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes. Motion passes. I entertain a motion to approve resolution number 928 to commit $300,000 of corporate fund balances for future capital projects as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Warren?
Yes.
Commissioner Snyder?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes. Motion passes. I entertain a motion to approve the Idle Free Resolution number 929 as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion?
Yes.
I am the representative for the Sustainability Committee, and at my very first meeting, a discussion ensued. I'm just sitting listening because I knew, obviously, about the village putting up, kind no idling signs at the schools and at the village. And I said, well, you know, we have to include the park district because we have so many cars coming to pick kids up and there should be consistency. And so what it did, what that whole little interaction did was sort of justify the fact that the park district should have representation on these committees that are, you know, sometimes village committees, because we do have really good input at times like that. So it was one little thing, but I'm really glad I was there and able to, represent for the park district. So I believe we're getting our signs.
We actually already had them up.
Oh, we got them up?
We made them up before then.
Oh, you did?
Which I learned. She goes, oh, we already have signs up. Look at that. Before the village or the school district.
Interesting.
So they're up in.
Are they permanent signs?
They're in our fire lanes for the early childhood area.
Good.
And back here, they previously said, just drop off zone, but now they say no parking in the bottom, no idling.
No idling.
So good. That came from our green, our internal green committee here at our district.
Yes.
And part of our strategic plan of looking at different ways.
Very good.
So that type back right.
And now I will share that with the committee when I go.
Also informed all of our campers, the community campuses, that was part of the best practice.
Yes, best practice.
So this was kind of the final thing to make the official, put forward.
Yes.
So,
yeah. Very good. Awesome. Very good. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Snyder?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes.
Excellent.
I entertain a motion to approve moving the August 17 regular board meeting to August 3rd at 7 p.m., canceling the regular committee meeting on August 3rd, and changing the September 21 regular board meeting to September 20 at 7 p.m. as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion?
There hasn't been a notice on the calendars to change the date.
So we have to get approved, right?
Approval first.
That's what I thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep, on Thursday when I'm back in again.
Oh, okay.
That'll all get changed for you.
Change it all. Yeah, and thank you for changing that one, because that NRPA conference starts the next day. So we're staying for that and meeting early Tuesday morning.
Sure, not a problem. Very good. Okay, roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Warren?
Yes.
Commissioner Snyder?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes, motion passes. Is there any other business, Ms. Shepard?
There is not.
Okay.
I
entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion passes.
All right. Okay.